What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get an all-access experience with player interviews,
exclusive practice information,
and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else.
This is South Philly Sauce,
hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
Welcome back, South Philly Sauce and Odyssey Original, brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels. Ashlyn Sullivan, Al Morganti back here with you, recapping a busy week for the Flyers that is not done yet. The Flyers have four games this week. They are on a four-game point streak, and they're looking to make it 5 out of 6 points on this road trip with the final game remaining against the Devils Saturday afternoon. A lot to like about this road trip. They've handled a lot of adversity, that's for sure, especially coming off that game that we just saw against the New York Islanders. The Flyers winning that game, not starting great in the first period, composing themselves in the second period, which has been incredibly unkind of the Flyers. The second period so far this season gets a little squirrely in the third. They compose themselves. They get the job done.
Yeah, Ashlyn, it was an up and down game. We're going to talk about it. I mean, it was an emotional, another emotional game. So they've gone through the ringer emotionally. You know, a big hit that took out Poehling in the first period of the game. And they managed to get their emotions under control, including the coach, who I think went off rightfully so on a big hit on Poehling that I guess technically when you look at it, it was a shoulder-to-shoulder hit, but then through the head. This is and this is my issue with hits like that. Sometimes it's what happens on the ice more than the replay. Like you get a feel for a game, whatever the sport is. And when you look at replay, it artificially slows things down. And so when the official initially calls a penalty, it's like he's got a sense of what's going on, who's protected, who could have avoided a hit, who could have not drilled somebody as like they're trying to go through a wall or whatever. And so I think when you just looked at it in that lens, real-time lens, it was a pretty ugly hit that needed a response. We slowed it down. It's like, okay, part of the shoulder. Yeah, maybe. But that's where replay sometimes works against getting a feel for the game. But in any event, the Flyers went off after that hit on Poehling, and we don't know what the long-term results are going to be. It certainly looked like he went off the ice concussion-like, but who knows. But then they didn't let that kind of bleed into their game, right? They recomposed themselves, including Tortorella, who was wild about the hit, obviously.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. It's like you want that response and you want that kind of response from somebody. But don't let it ruin your game. And they didn't let it ruin their game. They came back. It's a weird team, Ashlyn. No matter how much you can say they played well and they came back, there's just these moments where guys just make mistakes. And it allows the other team, even a team like the Islanders, to crawl back in. But if it's all about, you know, coming back, getting dusting yourself off, whatever, the Flyers did it again.
Yeah, they really did. An impressive showing in Long Island, that's for sure, especially with everything that went on. And then TK as well going into the boards, and we didn't know if he was going to come back. And we don't really know still what happened with TK, but the fact that he stayed in the game, one. And two, you got the ice time and the impact from him, especially in the third period. I mean, we're watching him with the iPad and it seems like he's like kind of holding on like with half an arm, yet he goes on the ice and has 3 assists that night.
Yeah, man, he's just like, he's like Johnny Appleseed now, apple after apple. He's got like 4 in 1 game, 3 in another game. I mean, it's addition and throwing sauce, and it was just, he's really been remarkable. But that hit to me was even more frightening. It wasn't a hit, but that fall into the boards to me, if I'm watching as a friend, family member, whatever, that's horrifying, because if his head's just a little straighter, he's straight into the boards head first, and he managed to tuck himself in and avoid that. Boy, I'll tell you, I was scared seeing that hit, that just see how his reaction was going to be. But then, and I think part of it, Ashton, was, you know, knowing you're already down a man, right?
Yeah.
You know, try to come back and help however you can, not only come back, but make just terrific plays. And he's had himself a darn good road trip here on what's going on and just what's expected of him night after night. It's been really interesting to watch him and Cates and to see what's going on and who's gonna carry the mail that night. But night after night, he does it.
Yeah, he does. And Joel Farabee, a great response from him after being a healthy scratch for three straight games, the first time in his career that he was scratched, and makes it three straight, which is definitely hard for me. He was honest about that. And we wanted to see a reaction from him on the ice. But I thought just as impressive, if not maybe more impressive, was how he spoke about it in the post-game locker room, how he said he had a conversation with Torts about Torts wanting him to be more aggressive on the ice, how Torts frankly wasn't noticing him out there. And you saw that especially, and I loved how Farabee just took ownership for it, didn't pout about it, didn't say, you know, make excuses for it, and you noticed him on the ice.
Yeah, and that's what you were looking for. Look, you know, he got benched. I don't think there was an intent for three originally. I think just a game to sit out, watch or whatever. But then they played so well with Luxell in the lineup, although he wasn't that impactful. But just to win like that, you know, to have those emotional wins that they had, Anaheim and then, you know, Florida, you couldn't really make a change. But I think this this helped not just him, but everybody. It was like, you know, when Tortorella talks about the how tight the locker room is, it's not just words. It's a pretty close group. And I think as much as he wanted to have an impact, I think his teammates wanted him to have an impact whenever he was on the ice in that situation. And I think that helped everybody. So we'll see how it continues. I mean, when Tortorella says we weren't seeing a lot from you, I guess the comparison you would draw was Bobby Brink didn't score for what, 20 games, but he was doing things that made him, quote, noticeable on the ice. Mm-hmm. And I think that had been missing from a little bit from Farabee's game. You know, he'd try to drop the gloves in the Toronto game, but other than that, you know, where do I see him on watching the game on video afterwards? So, I mean, I think that's the exact response. I don't know how many times you go to the well with this, but boy, I'll tell you, the coaching staff making their decisions on who plays and who doesn't and what kind of reaction you're going to get, they got pretty high marks right now in terms of getting a response when the guy comes back into the lineup.
Yeah, we joked on post-game Torts is basically batting 1,000 with this, and everyone wants to talk about how it's not a good idea, yet you see this reaction, so you can't really fight stats like that. And I fear what's not going to bite the Flyers, but I fear when we talk about the remainder of the season, we're starting to see a trend that isn't a good trend. And I fear when you play a very talented team, it's going to cost them is one, overcoming mistakes. The Flyers did that against the Islanders in the third period, but it's really been this entire road trip where it's the third period, the game is on the line, the other team is fighting back, and you give them a scoring chance on a silver platter. And somehow the Flyers have gotten away with this, but it's been the past couple of games where it's, we're watching going, oh my gosh, you foresee it coming. And the Flyers have gotten really lucky with these overcoming mistakes lately.
Yeah, it's and it's been veteran players in some instances, Lawton or Forster and Brent, obviously Frost a couple of games ago.
Frost.
But yeah, but this is where the goaltender has to be big. This is where when you talk about whether you're looking at goals against average, save percentage, this, that, and the other thing, these are the high danger, high important saves come in time of game saves. This is where you're literally the eraser, the only eraser. You can have a defenseman, you know, come back and make a great play, whatever. But more times than not, you make a mistake like that, and it's the goaltender that has to bail you out. And Erickson was pretty good about that in that third period. But you're right, and that's why when everybody's saying another, you know, couple of points for the Flyers, you know, the coaching staff's looking at it going, oh my, we can't keep doing this. I think they just want, you're never going to have that clean game, right? That 100% clean game. But you can't have that happen late. And because it's just, it's it's not just demoralizing for that game. If you let that one slip away with a bad third period or bad mistake, it bleeds into the next game. So that's where they really have to clean it up. And that's where I think they're trying to find their feet in the third period, their ability to lock down. You know, Cates is ice time. You just can't keep going there all the time. The good sign to me was, you know, with the injury, Couturier comes in and plays a really good game. And that's where I think you have to have late in game guys you can depend on like that. I think all coaches in any sport, I suppose, look for guys that you can count on late innings, fourth quarter in football, and in hockey, certainly late, you know, goalie pulled against you to kind of lock her down.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing a guy that's getting there a bit and kind of rewriting his season, his career, frankly, is Jamie Drysdale, who's had the label of him. You see this with most teams. There's always that one guy. Jamie has been the guy that has dealt with a ton of injuries, that has never been healthy. We're seeing him healthy as of now. You're seeing the upside to his game ever since that Anaheim game. It was the perfect storyline, and it just seems like it's kind of spark plugged him. It was something that he needed. He needed a little push, some juice, and it's been promising to see it carry over, not just for one game.
Yeah, it really was. Since that game, his confidence level, his moving, skating, risk-taking, and having faith he can get back. Like, he's never going to be that great defender, but he is going to be a guy that can give you defense with his offense, carry it up, bring the play into the zone, keep the puck in the zone. We've seen a lot more of that. He just looks like a more confident player. And that, you're right, it's like that. He'd been improving, but that game with the Cutter, I guess we'll call it the Gauthier game, the Anaheim game, that I think he really did feed off that. That's a kind of a reminder that stuff really works in terms of confidence, to have a whole crowd behind you and your whole team behind you, that they want you to really succeed in this moment. And you want that moment to be a building block. And it looks like it's been a building block. All defensemen, it's a tough position, but there's going to be mistakes with him with the high risk that they want him to take. I mean, when your coach flat calls you a rover, that means there's going to be times when you're roving and it's going to cause some issues, but you don't want to take that out of him. Yeah, he's been, that defensive pair has been really good for the Flyers recently. Really give them a chance every time they're on the ice. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see, because Jamie is a guy you root for him, because it's been pretty unfair, all the situations that have happened to him and the trade and the injuries. It's just like, it felt like one after another, the guy couldn't catch a break. And now you're seeing the player that everyone always talked about thought could be in there. So you hope it stays consistent, because frankly, the Flyers are going to need him. Frankly, the Flyers are going to need everyone to stay in this. We showed the standings in our pregame show the other day, and it's jam-packed one. The Flyers are out of a playoff spot as of now, but they're right in the conversation. And especially with so many Metro games coming up, you can't even afford overtime at this point. You got to get 2 points if you want to make it.
Yeah. If you're going to get to overtime, you got to win it, and that's tough to expect that all the time. Yeah, the regulation win is something that's been rare, come a little more often right now. But that's what you want to see coming in, and just erase some of those third period mistakes. It's still, you know, you look at the standings and they're all kind of squished together, it looks like. But boy, I'll tell you, it's tough when two of the teams you're up against are the Rangers and the Bruins, you know, expect them to slip. You know, last year the Devils had a terrible year, and they're not going, and the Flyers play the Devils, they're not going to slip. They're the team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So, I mean, it's going to be a real tough grind. Just get to this Four Nations break, at least to get a bit of a breather, and then come back, hopefully, you know, fully manned in terms of health and goaltending confidence, which I'm hoping when they come back from that break, that whole thing's settled, you know, number one or number two, and just go from there, and you don't have those big questions anymore.
Yeah, that is definitely the hope. But as of now, the Flyers still with a couple of games before that break, a massive one against the Devils Saturday afternoon. And these are the Devils that we thought they would be last season. They figured out their goaltending situation. We couldn't figure out why they struggled as much as they did. But whenever we talked about, are the Flyers going to make it the playoffs? Are they going to be in the conversation this year? We said, well, we don't think so, because the Devils are going to be so much better. And that is definitely the case so far this season.
Yeah, they're getting kind of, you know, it's not even them flipping as much as it's the Devils doing what they were supposed to. And Washington, look,
out of nowhere.
Yeah. Nobody thought Ovechkin was going to probably get into break Gretzky's record in this season and play the way they have overall. To me, I thought, okay, last year was exceptional for them, but I didn't think they'd follow it up like this. And boy, have they ever. So that's why the Flyers, this mountain to climb, is it's got a lot of ledge left before they can do anything. And it said that you gotta hope that your guys that you're bringing along, you know, your Farabees, as we mentioned, Forster, Drysdale, will be a big difference. And that, you know, Sam Harrison is the guy that that he can, you know, get some break here and plays better throughout, and not just at the end of the games, but just I really want to see this team win six in a row, something like that. That's what it would take for me to say, because Detroit's kind of had it with their coaching bump. Montreal sort of had it. You know, Ottawa's had that run. I want the Flyers to go on that run. When they have that run, then I'll feel more secure saying, you know what, we're going to go down to the wire with a sniff at the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to take. It's going on a run like that. It's been very inconsistent up and down so far this season. It's going to need to be an impactful run, I think, to get everyone believing that this is a solid shot. And it all starts definitely Saturday against the Devils. That would be a huge, impactful win for the Flyers. We'll see what happens. That South Philly Sauce and Odyssey Original. Brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels, Ashlyn Selvin, Al Morgani. We'll be back with you early next week to recap that massive game against the Devils. Enjoy your weekend.